Hello, friends. Welcome to the Made You Smile podcast. I'm Melinda.
And I'm Carrie.
And we're here to make you smile.
It's in the name. Hope you enjoy.
Hey, we didn't get to eat beforehand.
I know. We have been sitting here talking.
Instead of podcasting.
Yeah.
Because we missed our lunch back and forth.
Yes, we did. So
bad things happen when we miss our communique that needs to happen before the podcast.
Is that a word? Why do we not use that word?
I don't know. I'm not even sure it's a word.
It sounds like something that you would say like on a submarine.
That's a fancy.
Yeah. The communique has been disrupted or something. I don't know.
Hey, I sent you a text because I have an unpopular opinion I'm going to put out there.
This is our segment called Unpopular Opinion.
Yeah, and I know everybody's going to come at me on this.
I don't know.
I think it will.
A lot of our listeners are Gen Xers and they'll probably agree with you.
I can respect your different point of view.
Yeah.
But here's my unpopular opinion.
Let's have it.
I think proposals should be intimate between the person asking and the person saying yes.
Yeah.
I just think we've lost something there. Y'all are committing your lives to each other.
Yeah.
And I don't think you should start it off with a broadcast, like a picture,
Instagram,
a social media thing.
It feels that way. Like everything is planned around what it's going to look like on social media.
Well, and here's one thing. I don't know. I'm sure this sparked because you were saying I wrote down an unpopular opinion weeks ago. We had to go through our texts because I couldn't remember.
You had something.
And so something must have sparked this for me. I must have felt very, I don't know.
You were having a moment of like.
Yeah, it got emotional for me. I got
always like you
emotionally angry about it because I fired off. I texted you immediately.
It was probably late at night.
But
you were probably watching Netflix or something.
But I think about the pictures that you're going to look back when you're 80.
Yeah.
You're going to look back at these proposal pictures.
Yeah.
And think, who is that guy shooting the confetti cannon in the background? I don't remember him.
Yeah, no, I know.
And all these people that are important in your life, some of them will stick around. You and I have been friends for years.
7 years, yeah.
So almost 20, going on 30 years. We're like late 20s.
Yes, yeah.
So, yes, some of those people are going to be around for a long time, but a lot of them are going to fade.
Yeah.
You know, fade from your relationship. I just think it should be the old-fashioned, he drops down on one knee and asks, and it's between you and the person you're committing years of your life to.
We took a young couple, congratulations, Angel and Grace, for just getting engaged. Angel is best friends with Makito, my son, and so they...
I thought that was a name. I was like, Makito.
Makito.
What an interesting name. How do you spell that?
M-I-K-I-D-D-O. Kid-O. Kiddo, Makito. Anyway, it does sound... That's a cool name.
Uh-huh.
Like, that would be
We've
a good
come up with a new name.
Gen Z baby name. No, but they got engaged a couple of weeks ago, and we took them out for lunch after church on Sunday, just sitting and talking with them and hanging out with them. And she was asking me about my wedding. Oh, now what did you do? And I'm like, I'm thinking in my head, don't ask me for advice because it's all so different.
Right.
It's so different. Now I can give you marriage advice. I can give you like ideas outside of like decorating and flowers and location and all that. And the best advice I ever got was spend the money on the honeymoon, not on the wedding.
Right.
Spend the money on the honeymoon because the wedding is just a party for everybody else. I mean, obviously you want to throw a good party, but I said, she was asking me about where I got married and like how many people did you have in your wedding? And I looked at, my sister was with us, Pam, and then Randy, and I was looking at them. I was like, And the two of them were like, 200, 250? And they were like, what? That's huge. And I'm like, actually, no. I said, sure, because it feels big today.
Because they're paying for everything.
Because exactly. We didn't pay for people. It was not, there was not an amount for each person that you had.
You had your reception in the fellowship hall.
I said, well, we had a church wedding. And they were like, really? And I was like, that's what you did. Everybody's wedding looked the same.
Right.
It was you got in there, you packed everybody in the auditorium, and then you said your I do's, you wore the big taffeta fluffy puffy sleeve dress with a giant veil on your head, and then you swished back after the I do's and now pronounced man and wife, and then everybody went to the fellowship hall, and I said, you had cake and wedding mints and maybe a bowl of punch and maybe a groom's cake. I had a simple chocolate cake for groom, but we didn't feed those people. We got in there and open gifts, cut the cake, and everybody said, see you later.
Well, and I think there's so many ideas that come. Here's the wonderful thing about social media. They have so many ideas and options now that they sit there and get, you know, from. Because, I mean, I loved some of the new things that were introduced in my son's weddings, in my daughter's wedding. I was like, that's brilliant. Yeah. I love that. That's a wonderful idea.
Yep.
We had a Bride magazine. Remember?
Yeah.
You saved your money.
First thing I did and was I got engaged, and I got a Bride magazine.
This magazine was as big as the dictionary. Yes. It was thick, and you poured through it, and you tore out. You know, that's where your ideas came from. Yeah. And, of course, a lot of them were unrealistic because it was way too much money or whatever. Yeah. But anyway, I agree.
I do. I remember hearing a pastor once talking about somebody that he knew that was a young man who was proposing to his wife and took her to New York City and just spent a bajillion dollars to take her there to propose. And he was like, man, where are you going to go from here?
You have set the bar.
Yeah. Like, and that's, I think it starts with like the promposals and just all of the big.
I felt so bad for my sons when they would have to like compete and what they wanted to do is make sure they give that picture moment to their person that they care about.
Right.
So that, you know, it was special
they
to them.
They feel special. Yeah.
And I love that. There's part of me that loves that too, because that's about service and thinking about, you know, your person that's important to you and how can I make it special for them?
Yep.
But I just think I would love to make intimacy popular again.
I like that.
Let's make you know, things that should be between two people in private. Let's make it okay for things to be private again.
Yeah.
Do you
have any pictures of your proposal?
Only, I think I have a couple of pictures when we came in from when I was proposed. My parents were up and my aunt was there visiting. And we have pictures of us sitting around the table and my aunt's looking at my ring.
I have none.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't have had that. But the funny thing about my proposal is that nothing went right.
Oh,
Greg, everything went wrong. And Greg was going to propose in the park that we went to when we were high school.
Yeah.
It's probably a makeout park. I don't know. But so we got there and the sprinklers turned on right when we got there.
Because, you know.
And so everything that he had in his mind that was going to happen for the engagement didn't.
Yeah.
So we get back to my drive. And I really thought, it was so funny. I think we've talked about this before. But I thought that this night might be the night that he proposed.
Yeah.
So I was really surprised when we got back to my house and nothing had happened.
Oh, yeah.
And I had forgotten my key. And I actually called my dad, who had already been asked.
Yes.
And knew that tonight was going to be the night, if he could leave a key out.
Yeah.
And he turned to my mom and said, I guess she said no, because I didn't say anything about, you know, I got engaged.
Yeah.
And we get back, pull up in the driveway, and Greg goes, well, nothing turned out right tonight. He goes,
did you have any idea?
Will you marry me? And I was like, yes. And that's all you had to do.
Yeah.
It was just that. You know? So,
oh, I love that. That's a great story.
The water came on. Yeah. I was going to get down on my knee.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is great.
The first person that found out that Randy and I were engaged, was the girl at Blockbuster. But I had no idea. Like, I went to rent a movie because it was a Saturday and it was at college and everybody had gone home for the weekend. And Randy had gotten up so early for us to go on this day trip. I had to go to art galleries for my art and art and humanities class. And so he was like, I'll go with you.
You don't say that with disgust in your art galleries. Oh, are I'm a sorry. Joy.
No, it was.
It's just we a had a great, privilege
it
to go.
Absolutely is. It to is an art was gallery. such a privilege that I didn't understand.
You just missed
back
out.
Then. Yeah. But I had to write a paper on it, so I absolutely paid attention. But the last art gallery, bless him, he spent that whole day just holding it in. And we got to the very last art gallery and he'd actually painted a picture and put the painting in that art gallery. And it was the very last one that we did.
That's one of my favorite. You know, the first people that found out we were expecting a baby were the waiters at the restaurant where we went out to celebrate.
Aww.
You know, so my parents, nobody else knew. But
because we didn't have cell phones. So I tried I got home. I got back to my dorm and Randy was like, because he'd gotten up so early, he was like, I'm going to go and take a nap and then we'll sync up for dinner or whatever. So I had the rest of the afternoon to sit in my apartment. My roommate had gone home. Nobody at my house at home where my parents lived was answering the phone
for you.
So nobody was around. Nobody was there. You're Everybody like, had gone home.
Hey, so, neighbor, we don't know each other very well. I just
got engaged.
I'm engaged.
So I went to Blockbuster to rent a movie and I get up to the counter. Nobody's in Blockbuster. And the girl was checking out ringing me up at the counter. And I was like, I just got engaged. She was like, she got it. She was like, oh my gosh. I was like, everybody's gone. You didn't have a cell phone to text anybody or tell anybody or post it on social media. So.
Here's another point to my,
another thing
about my own popular opinion. I think you miss out because nowadays everybody is in on it before you know, or you even.
Yes.
It's so funny because you schedule the surprise, right?
Right.
Everybody knows where to be at the park and this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think people are, I'm going to say there's some joy in surprising people in with that phone call or showing up and holding your hand out and saying, we're getting married, celebrate with us. You're missing out on a different kind of joy.
Yes.
That's just
one of the best, one of the best videos, you know, that of watching, like being on Instagram or Facebook or anything. One of the best things are the, like, after an awards ceremony or after the Oscars, when the person calls their parents and say, Mom, I won. And that's the first thing, or the Olympics or whatever, watching those
people that mean have been in your life, or in calling those people that have been in your life that
there's
raised
something
you
to that.
When
it all comes down to it, I think that is the unpopular opinion is, everybody else knows before you do, I think is part of it. And look, again, the operative word here is opinion.
Yeah, right.
We're not saying it should be that way.
You're entitled to your opinion. And I know there are moms out there that are party planners and love that stuff.
Yes.
So y'all would really miss out on not being involved in the in the celebration. And I get that. I do.
And I think know your person too. Know your person. The couple that we just had lunch with, they know each other, and she's wants a simple wedding. I was like, look, Walmart has really good cake. They make good cake. She's like, really? And I was like, So she is
Sam's does a good cake too.
Sam's does a really
good cake. I've been at weddings where I thought, oh, that looks beautiful, tastes awful.
Oh, see,
so you're paying for the design.
Yep.
But not, and I was like, I want to taste wonderful.
Fondant? Blech. Yeah.
That's a different opinion, unpopular opinion.
Give me a good buttercream and I'm all yours.
Entering the obstacle course again of healthy eating.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see.
You know what's coming.
That's a good way to put
it. It's coming. Mm-hmm. And I'm already facing it because...
Yeah. Are you?
Yes. I mean, the fortitude it takes to pass up the Cadbury cream eggs that are at every counter right now, because that's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
The Cadbury. And so now we're entering chocolate Easter candy time. And I just got rid of Christmas candy.
Right.
I mean, so, and here's the problem, because my view is the best way to tackle candy in your house is to eat it in one setting.
Right.
To get it out so the temptation's not there anymore. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you're in a chocolate coma for a while, you know, as you do that. So I'm just, you know, but at least I don't have, you know, little kids in the house anymore that I'm putting those Easter baskets. And when I used to fill the Easter baskets, it was one for the basket, one for mommy's mouth.
Right.
You know, one for the egg.
Right.
One that goes in the candy egg, one for mommy's mouth. So I just am sympathizing with all of those moms and dads out there preparing those. And you're entering the danger zone.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You've done good after Christmas. You've tackled that weight. You've
Halloween.
You've had that resolution. You've
triumphed over Halloween. And
you've
then
went gone
into
to the
Christmas.
Gym a few times.
Yeah.
And here we come again.
Worked on eating healthy.
You know, Easter, celebrating our Savior. And dodging the you know.
With a hollow chocolate bunny.
The chocolate eggs. Yeah. You know, so I'm just.
My favorite chocolate Easter thing, and I have to pace myself, but oh my stars, I stock up on them. They are the Hershey's marshmallow eggs.
Oh, okay.
I love chocolate covered marshmallows. I love chocolate covered anything, but there is just something about a marshmallow, a chocolate covered marshmallow. I think it's because it takes longer for you to eat. Like you take a bite of it, but there's something about, I love like the little snap of chocolate on the outside and then
the squishy
gooey
on the inside.
Squishy on the inside.
Greg does not. Here's another unpopular opinion.
Okay. We're just full of them today. Yeah.
Peeps don't belong anywhere near an Easter basket.
Yeah.
I don't understand them.
Well, I don't know if you've seen this or not. I disagree.
You like peeps?
I don't, but I do think they're classic. I think it's tradition.
Well, just because they've got the pastel colors.
Well, now they have them for every holiday.
Boy, I sounded just like my mom. Colors?
The whale. I always put them, I would always put them in my kids' Easter baskets.
I'll agree. They look good in a basket.
And they don't eat them.
They
wind up putting them in the microwave and watching them explode. That's the joy of peeps. But I've seen all kinds of things you can do now with peeps, like make a s'more out of it. Or put it just...
Maybe melt it. Well, I mean, it's mostly... But they're just... It's like... I think we talked about this. There's something nostalgic for people.
Yes.
Because it was always in their Easter basket.
Yep.
But I just want people to be logical. Yes. Yeah. It was always there. But was it the first thing you went for? No. You went for the chocolate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. You went for the... the little...
It's a filler.
The little chocolate foiled... color, the chocolate foiled eggs, the little,
right.
The smaller. And now every chocolate maker makes one of those eggs, like a Reese's. Or
I'm going to go one further. I'm going to be even more unpopular.
Okay. All right, bring it.
I think that jelly beans are a filler too. Not the specialty ones. I'm not talking about those. But the ones that still crunch like sugar when you bite into them.
Pure sugar.
That's just a filler candy.
Yeah.
That's made to look like, you know,
it's
you
like
put
the,
something colorful in the basket.
It's like the honeydew melon in the fruit cup. It's just filler. It's cheap filler that nobody really likes, but they eat it anyway.
What if we were just honest with ourselves and we pared down what just the truly tasteful, full of taste things in our Easter baskets?
Yeah.
We could save trees. By cutting down the size of baskets, we could save the plastic grass.
You'd save on your dental bill.
No, because nobody eats those sugary, crunchy jelly beans.
No, except that's what I'm saying. You don't eat the pure sugar, and so that actually sticks in your teeth, and so you save.
I'm saying you
money
save
off the dentist.
You save
bill.
Anyway because nobody eats them.
Right?
They throw them away because they're filler.
Don't eat the jelly beans.
I don't know.
I don't know. Change
my mind.
Do you? I bet Greg loves jelly beans. Is he a jelly bean?
You know, I don't know. I do love licorice jelly beans. That's the only ones I'll eat.
Which president was it that loved jelly beans? Kept them on their desk.
Was that Carter? I think it might have been Carter.
Maybe it was Reagan. Because Carter loved peanuts.
Well, he was a
peanut farmer.
Peanut farmer.
I think he kept peanuts on his desk. Somebody loved jelly beans. It was a president that
answer
was
us if y'all know, if y'all remember your
I don't know,
useless history. No.
it's trivia. It's
your
a trivia.
Useless trivia.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, I'm being cantankerous today.
Contrary.
I'm being contrary today. I just feel like unpopular opinions are.
You woke up just, on the disagreeable side of the bed today.
I guess I did. I don't know what it's about. I'm going to change my attitude.
Okay.
I need to get it changed before, you know, Easter comes and really
dedicate your life to
refocus
Jesus. Yeah.
My attitude. Yeah. But anyway, that's my opinion. There's things that don't belong in an Easter basket. Don't waste space.
And we can agree to disagree.
All right.
Okay.
I love y'all all anyway.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was
unpopular.
It was unpopular.
Opinions.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I maybe it is popular. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you've...
Well, it's not going to be popular with the young with
people,
it.
People are crossing the aisle to join in on the... I don't know. Speaking of resident Bible nerd Kelly Matthews...
Oh, yeah, we were.
You were just asking me about her.
I was asking.
She went down...
Where is she?
...to Houston. We were texting last night because I had a Bible question for her. And so she... I was saying she just walked in the door from a trip that she had been on with some other very learned ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And they went down to
other
some...
nerds.
Exactly.
Bible
I was
nerds.
Trying to be gracious about it, but no, they're nerds
oh
too.
My goodness. I live in a house full of nerds. That's
I
a com- that's a compliment.
It is a compliment. Yes. Nerds rule the world. But she came back. She told me she came back nerdier. She learned a bunch of stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah. And apparently there is, wherever they went, there is a cathedral or a chapel or like a...
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It was a really pretty...
Italy built it. Somebody from Italy built it to replicate another place that is like a old cathedral. Church. And so something, a library, maybe that was it. I don't know. Anyway, the pictures were beautiful. I asked her, were you like in D.C., like the Bible Museum or something at some very, very old chapel or something? She's like, no, she was in Houston. So, but I was texting her last night and saying, hey, I was asking,
we're gonna have to tell her, hey, you need to start sharing your location with us.
Exactly.
So
we get curious. Yeah. So, well, she did. So that's the thing. She was like, she told me in her text, she was like, go look at my Instagram. I was like, I did. I just don't know where you were. But I was texting her a Bible question and I said, followed up with like, I'm asking that because I'm writing my Christmas scripts. And she said, wow, is that disorienting?
Time.
And I was like, it is, because I'm also writing Good Friday. So they're sort of overlapping each other and I have to remember, nope, birth, death.
Yeah.
Which one am I in now? So, but this verse came up in both types, in both scripts, because I'm trying to convey this message about who the Lord is, who the prophet said that Jesus would be, and then what he actually was. So I love this verse in Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews so much, but this was such a good and just kind of a very poetic verse. We always like to end our podcast with just some scripture that will hopefully encourage you. And I love this description about Jesus in Hebrews. This is from Hebrews 1:3. He says, "The Son, capital S-O-N, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." I love the phrase, "the sun is the radiance," but it's talking about God's
what was sun the next phrase the nature he's the exact
it's the exact expression of
expression
his nature.
Yeah. Of his nature.
Yeah,
I love that too.
And so it's a good memorization verse. Like mm-hmm. it's the gospel that Jesus gave up all, he set aside all of his deity, his divine powers to live among us and walk among us. And so where I'm going back and forth was I'm writing scripts on what was our Advent series last year was the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting mm-hmm. Father, Prince of Peace. And so last night I was writing the script for Mighty God and this verse kept coming up. And then I'm also writing for Good Friday of who Jesus was that gave up his life. And so,
you're going to get a call from looks over all of the scripts?
Dave Rogers.
Dave Rogers.
He's our gatekeeper. Yeah.
I think you might have.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Nope, this didn't happen. Yeah, no, give him 33 years and then
you're gonna have to explain. I'm sorry, I was writing to you.
Yeah. I don't know. What day is it? Where am I? Well, it's all about Jesus. That's at the end of the day. Thank the Lord. It's just all
about Jesus and the fact that Jesus loves you.
You can't mess that up.